Well, thank you again. You can go ahead and have a seat. So, I wanted to share a biblical symbol and scriptures with you today that are commonly used for police officers. The first one is St. Michael, the archangel, who's the symbol of police officers. The second that we'll discuss is Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And third, we're going to look at Psalm 144, 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. So let's start. Number one, you should have your note card. So go ahead and pull that out. If you need a pen, like I said, so you could take some notes. So let's take a look at Michael, the archangel, the symbol of police officers. Michael is known as God's archangel, which means chief angel. I love that because a chief of police, he's ahead of all of these officers. And Michael is like that. He is the chief of these angels. This angel will play an important part in the end times. He will lead a multitude of angels in triumph war over Satan and his demons, as noted in Revelation 12. Michael is not merely one of the angels, but the head of the battalion of angels, though their ultimate leader is God. In the book of Revelations, Michael the archangel commands God's army against Satan's forces. It is during the war of heaven, Archangel Michael conquers Satan. After the battle, Satan is cast to the earth with the fallen angels, where he, the ancient serpent called the devil, continues their effort to lead the whole world astray. Did you hear that? His job is to lead the whole world astray. Here on earth, we see so many different things happening every day, and the enemy is right there in the midst. You need to understand that you need to know your enemy. You need to know that he is up to something and recognize it before you get involved. I was saying earlier in the early service is I was driving down the road and it was 40 miles per hour and there was nobody on the other lane and a lady came behind me and she was waving her hands, screaming and yelling at me, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and then at the stoplight she pulls next to me, rolls her window down and says, "Learn how to drive." And I went, "It's 40 miles per hour." I pointed to the speed limit. "Well, that doesn't mean drive 40 miles per hour." "Okay, well, no, it does. Because knowing what would happen is if I was driving 60, officer's gonna come over and give me a nice ticket, which I don't want. And she kept arguing with me, but by the light was taking a little while. And so I could feel the enemy going, "Give it to her, tell her." And I said, "You know what?" And I go, "Maybe we should talk about it, you know?" And she's looking at me like, "Uh-oh, I think this lady's cuckoo." But I'm wearing my chaplain shirt, and I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. They're going to say, "What happened?" So I again looked at her, and by the time the light turned, she goes, "Ma'am, never mind, ma'am. Sorry, never mind." You know, all of a sudden, I became ma'am when I needed to learn how to drive a couple seconds ago. But the enemy will stir the pot at one moment. And you need to know that that's him. It's him. He is trying to get to you. So even in the book of Jude, Michael is referred to as the archangel. As I started to dig and learn more about him, I was like, wow, you know, we know about angels, but this guy, Many of these reasons could help explain why Michael was chosen by the police officers throughout the world to be their patron saint. But the one easily identifiable reason is that Archangel Michael is known for his ability to protect and to cast out evil, which lies at the heart of police officers and protectors of peace. As he cast out the enemy from heaven, this is what they're looking for. This is why they have him as their patron saint. When in the field, police officers need everything possible to help them get home safely. Do you agree? Yeah. and that includes a little help from the heavens. Michael has and continues to serve as the patron saint of police officers for many reasons. Did you ever notice in the Bible, whenever God needed to punish someone or make an example of someone, or even if God needed a killing, he sent an angel. And these are the same angels that are praising the Lord all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, eternity, and yet one wing is dipped in blood. You know, you don't want to mess with these guys. You want them on your side. Amen. A police officer's job on earth is not always a happy one either, but it's their sense of duty that so pleases God, the hard knocks that surprises the devil, and their angelic self-control that gives us inspiration. So let's look at a few scriptures regarding Michael the archangel. So I mentioned Jude 1:9. So you could write that down. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." He knew who was in charge. That's the thing, is that even officers sometimes, they forget who's in charge. But Michael knows that God is in charge. So he doesn't say anything except, "Let the Lord do that. I'm here to handle the situation." In Daniel 12:1, it says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge over his people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till now. But at that time your people shall be delivered, every one whose name shall be found written in the book." This is about prophecy of the end times. Everyone whose name is found in the book. So let's look at another scripture, Matthew 13:41. And if you have your Bible, I'm using a New King James Version. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers." And that's Jesus talking. You know what I love about the Bible is every time you read it, it's like what's happening today in our lives, situations. That's what's so great about picking up the word. Revelations 12:7-9 says, "Now war arose in heaven." Who would have thought there was war in heaven, right? For all of our veterans, I want you to think about that, because you have dealt with war here on earth against other countries, and there is a war going on right now in heaven. And I want to honor our veterans. Who, if you're a veteran, will you stand, please? If you served our country, will you stand? Thank you. Like Pastor said, you know, that's my heart. That's my heart. But when I see that, I think, war in heaven? Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon? Remember I said you need to know your enemy? He has many names. He disguises himself in many situations. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. You need to realize that. He's a deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Boom, goodbye. Hallelujah. Yes, Satan thrown out of heaven with the help of the angels. No wonder why God has them as his backup. I mean, if you have an emergency, you know, who is your backup? The Lord, right? But if you're in a situation, I grew up in the neighborhood, so it was important that I had a backup with me at all times. Maybe I wasn't following the Lord that closely at that time, but it was nice to know I had somebody ready to jump in so I wouldn't get hurt. Now, Let's look at the standout verses that we pray over police officers, because these aren't only for police officers, they're for us too. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." This does not describe those who live in peace, but those who actually bring about peace, overcoming evil with good. So how many of you have had to call the police at one time? Raise your hand high. Just a couple? Oh, yeah, there. The back. This in the back area made a couple calls. Okay, we had one guy waving way back there. Well, even I had to. And I shared earlier that I remember being homesick. And Joyce actually brought this to my remembrance because she called me and she had laryngitis. And she was talking like this. And it brought it right back to my remembrance that I was a young mother with two children that were 1.5 and 2.5 years old. My daughter Crystal and my son Mark. And I missed work. I was sick. I had laryngitis. I think I just took a shower and my hair was all wet. And someone came to my door. And I was like, "Yes, can I help you?" I recognized the person. They followed me home from work. They had been stalking me. Obviously, I didn't know that until they showed up at my door. And I said, I don't need anything. I heard you were sick. I brought you food. Bag of McDonald's. Brought you some food. No, thank you. I could barely talk. No, thank you. I can't. Thank you. I'm resting. Well, within seconds, the man put his hand through a pane glass window to try to unlock the deadbolt. And as he's bleeding, he's literally trying to get in my home. I pushed my children to the back of the wall, stood in front of them, grabbed the phone, called the police, yelled, "Help, help, help." That's all I could say and barely say it. And they kept saying, "They're on their way. They're on their way." And from a distance, I heard the sirens. And I was like, "Oh God, you're here. You saved me. He's not going to get me." And then he heard the sirens too and took off. Well, the policeman came in, checked on me, then went immediately after him. And they arrested him and they took him to jail. But what I'm saying is the enemy used that man to put fear into me, to scare me, to try to kill me. But the Lord sent this officer to help me. And when I look at these scriptures, I also think, wow, that's how God uses his own angels to send them out to help people. So let's go to A. It says, how can we become peacemakers, overcoming evil with good? You know, even though that man did that, and I have never forgotten it, but I forgave him. You know, because I can't carry that baggage around. I can't live in fear, and I don't want any of you to. The one way Christians accomplish this is through spreading the gospel, because God has entrusted us of the ministry of reconciliation. You should all know this verse, and we're going to say it together. It's John 14:6. So are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of you are. I am the way, truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right, the left side's working really good. Guys back there, I'm still waiting on you. This is what we need to tell others so they can have reconciliation with God. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry, everybody say that, ministry of reconciliation. Yes, it's our ministry. It is our ministry. If you are a Christian and you believe, it's our ministry. Even though you think, oh, I can't serve, I'm too busy. Well, he's already given you a ministry. Pastor Paul asked all of our chaplains what our ministry was going to be, because we all do different things. David does motorcycle ministry, and then we do veterans ministry. Jimmy does sports. Lori does hospital. Hanya and Don do business. We got community. Sean and Scott go out on the beach on the pier to talk to people. Kathleen, oh man, she plays music like nobody's business. And we go over to the Long Beach VA Blind Rehab, and they keep, is she coming back? Because she has a ministry. She has a ministry, a special gift. But our ultimate ministry is to tell others about Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. How are you bringing reconciliation to people by being a peacemaker yourself? How many are you willing to apply this to your life? Raise your hand if you're willing to apply it, because the word is great. We read it, but then we have to apply it to our lives. So the police officer's oath is, on my honor, I will never betray my integrity, my character, or the public's trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always maintain the highest ethical standards and uphold the value of my community and the agency I serve. So if we were to make a commitment to the Lord, I started to think about Matthew 22, 37 to 39, when Jesus gives us those two commandments. Do you know what they are? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes, very good. With all your soul and with all your mind. And second, like it, love your neighbors as yourself. Okay, sometimes that's difficult. It's difficult to love neighbors, right? But he's saying our neighbors, everyone. So let's all stand up, because I don't want anybody falling asleep. If you can't stand, that's okay. Just give me a wave so I know you're still with me. Everyone online, you can say this out loud. So I'm gonna have you repeat after me. I am committed to loving you, Lord, with all my heart, all my mind, and I promise to love my neighbor. Amen. Very good. Very good. So that's our commitment today, to love our neighbors. Okay, you could go ahead and have a seat. Like officers, when they are being picked up for a department, they need to have a clean record and good temperament. And I know there's some officers out there that might not fit this description, but that is what they are supposed to be like. But I want to ask you too, because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Have we always kept ourselves perfect? Yeah, I got some giggles on the left. Yeah, it's difficult. You know, sometimes when people are in that moment, they could lose control and the enemy's got them. So we definitely need to keep them in our prayers. Our peaceableness should never, ever be connected with sin or an alliance with which is evil. You can imagine when police officers go out on patrol, their flashlights are charged with fresh batteries to see everything, to keep order, to keep DUIs off the street, thefts, domestic violence, murder, child abuse, sex trafficking. You know, the list can go on and on. What about tickets? They do give those too. So here's the truth. How many of you have received a ticket before? Raise your hand high. Okay, I got to pick on my pastor here, because he has his hand. So if pastor got a ticket, yeah, that shows you nobody's perfect, not even the pastor. Yeah, so in that case, you have to realize how many people get saved by them pulling you over. Because if you speed through a light, if you are going too fast and a child runs out in the street, that could be it. So slowing people down is important. Romans 13:1 says, let every person, that's all of us, be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. Everybody? Yep, point to him. and those that exist have been instituted by God. So how many of you realize that those tickets you got are technically from him because he appointed them? So got a complaint? This is a good time to start praying. Okay. We need to do the same when we get up. Our faces need to be as bright as that brightest flashlight against everything that is against God and his holiness. We commonly think of the peacemaker's work as being a job of one person who stands between two fighting parties. This may be one way to fulfill this mission, but one can also end a conflict and be a peacemaker when they are a party to the conflict. How many of you ever been a party to a conflict? You've had a problem with somebody. You had a fight with someone. Only a couple of you. You're so good. Oh, somebody back there is hiding going, me. When they are the injured or offended party. When you're the injured and offended party, I could have went ballistic, you know, on that person that did what he did. But realistically, we have to be the peacemaker. I love this verse in Psalm 119:11. Hide your word deep in my heart that I might not sin against you. So tap your badge if you have one on, or just tap your heart. You know, I love this verse because we definitely need to hide his word, because we could react, because the enemy will prompt us to say or do something. Be an example to show forgiveness. That was just a real standout to me. Be an example. In all cases, remember, everybody say remember. Remember. It is the devil who is the troublemaker. It is God who loves reconciliation. That's why he sent his son Jesus for us, so we could be forgiven. Let's look at point B, for they shall be called sons of God. The reward of a peacemaker is that they are recognized as true children of God. Who wants to be recognized as a true child of God? I know I do. Amen. We need to share God's passion for peace and reconciliation, the breaking down of walls between people. He is blessed by God, it says, though the peacemaker may be ill-treated by man. And we've heard many of those stories where police officers are ambushed and shot for no reason except that they protect and defend our community. But they are blessed by God. My friend Linda Compton, she has served many years. She just retired for LAPD. And I remember when one of the officers was shot down and how hard she took it. He wasn't doing anything. He was just shopping for a house for his wife and him. And in a moment's notice, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. He is blessed to be among the children of God, adopted into his family, surrounded by brothers and sisters through the ages. Have you ever heard this verse, Isaiah 52:12? For he shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. In the department, this rings true. They call it, I got your six. The guys in the military know that too, and gals. It means, I got your back. Now, for the most part, they get a thankless assignment by taking up strife. So let's think about those police officers. They sometimes put themselves between two fighting parties when they are very angry, sometimes taking blows from both sides. I mean, you've seen that even on the Capitol, right? They're trying to defend it, and they're getting it on both ends. Or you might have seen it, you know, like I said, I grew up in a neighborhood where you saw people fighting and the police trying to separate them. This is the same bravery Jesus did, who took the blows from his Father and from us also, that so by suffering in our place, peace might be made between God and man. So if Jesus was willing to make peace, why can't you? That's my question. Because a lot of us are holding back peace from people. I'm mad at that person. I'm not going to forgive them. And I'm sorry, God, but I can't. Don't you remember? But if Jesus was willing to take it to the cross for us, then that's our job, to have reconciliation and help other people to be reconciled. Let's go to number three. Let's go back and look at Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. The world's view of these kind of people are tough, strong, sharp. And as I prepared for this service today, it reminded me of the story in the Bible, the mighty men of valor. They had three distinct characteristics: strength and courage and passion. Scripture says in Judges 6:12, you take that down, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Did you hear that? The Lord is with you. As the angel of the Lord greeted Gideon in the Old Testament, he also invites you to become one of God's choice warriors, to be a peacemaker, to bring the ministry of reconciliation. But yet, there is still one brave man we need to talk about, Jesus. He lived a sinless life for our sake. He was beaten, whipped, scourged, spit on, pierced, and crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, he died, and he was buried for us so we could be forgiven. But guess what? There's great news. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. But one day, he will come in glory and judge the living and the dead. So my question for all of you is, are you ready? You know, this last week, I know when the enemy's causing trouble, he's stirring it up, even for me. My brother was in a horrific car crash just right here on PCH. His car was demolished. He's in the trauma ward at Long Beach Memorial. He has staples from the front of his head to the back of his head and other injuries. His name's Steve, so I ask you to continue to pray for him. But you know what? He didn't know that that was going to happen. It was just in a moment. Many of my friends have lost children, and it was in a moment. So I need to ask you, are you ready? That's what the Lord wants me to tell you. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Some of you need to come to the altar and leave everything here. I love that Sean said that because he heard the first message. Leave it here. It's like my big bag over there. I could just shove it right here and walk away and not worry about it. All the anger you have, and you can't tell me you don't have anger for something. The bitterness, maybe you're mad about a divorce or a loss of a job or a situation. Resentment, because somebody took something away from you. Heartbreak, someone broke your heart. Or disappointment. Why am I sick, God? Why did this happen to me? And then there's some of you that need to come back to Jesus. You've been away. You've been kind of going back and forth on the highway. Which way am I going to go? Well, there's no time like the present. So today is a special day. I invite you to come up here. Come up here and stand here and declare that I'm giving it up. I'm not going to carry this garbage anymore. I don't need to worry. The band, they sing so beautiful to set, the take the chains off and just leave them, right? That we hear those chains breaking. Why wait till you're on your deathbed and saying sorry to somebody? It's time to do it, because the only way to the Father is through the Son. So this is my invitation. We're here. Pastor will pray over you. Our chaplains will pray over you. They came specifically for you today. So let's encourage everyone. I'm so blessed to be here and ask ask Jesus to be in your life today and as you go forward in your morning and your afternoon and as you sleep tonight, that he speaks deeply to you. So if there's anyone, you're welcome to come up. We'll be glad to pray over you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.